is Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury automobile of the New York Giants, presented right here on MSG Network. Well, it has certainly been a very long season for the 2017 New York Giants, and it was a very long afternoon in the desert. The Giants heading out to play the Cardinals, and they get shut out 23-0 as I bring in my panel of Giants greats. Dave Deal, Roman Oben here joining me on set tonight. Guys, last week against the Eagles, this offense had one of their best games in over 2 years, 29 points, 500-plus passing yards. This game against the Cardinals, though, a much different story.
It really was. I mean, when you really look at this football game, the thing that really disappointed me the most about it is not building off of the momentum of that game up against Philadelphia last week. Granted, you didn't get the win, but the confidence that you should have gotten as a team and as an offensive group to carry over to a team in Arizona that is plagued with the same exact problems that you have as a team. So to go here, not get off to a fast start, basically only going up tempo in your opening drive when that is what is something that led to your success in Philadelphia, 10 penalties for over 100 yards, 3 turnovers. It's tough to win on the road when you're doing it to yourself.
Roman, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, and to piggyback on what you're saying, Dave, you thought you would have seen more earlier until they punted the first series of the game. And then I think everything kind of went out the window, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And look, the discussions have been, who's going to be the coach next year? Let's put some good stuff on tape. Let's build our resumes. Let's make sure when they're evaluating each person individually, they can say, I was a part of the problem. I'm sorry, part of the solution, not part of the problem. You saw a lot that was a lot of the part of the problem this year. That same thing that had plagued this team all season. No cohesion, running game in spots, couldn't put a consistent drive together, and the turnovers, guys. The turnovers are always going to kill the football game.
Yeah, the running game was a problem again. It seemed as though they had three different starters. When Gallman started the game, then they had Darqua going in, Perkins. I mean, they started all three running backs, couldn't get anything going. What happened?
And you knew that was going to be a difficult task going to Arizona, going up against a very good run-stopping defense. Yeah. So you knew that that was what was going to take place. But when you really look at the overall picture and what they did is in Philadelphia, I'm sorry, up against Philadelphia, short passing game was an extension of the running game to take something off of the defensive ends, to let your offensive linemen not sit in 5 and 7 step drops and let them be a little bit aggressive. And when you take that element out of it and you only have 43 net yards on the entire day, you're going to struggle offensively because now what are you doing? You're playing behind the chains. You're going to be in third and longs,
yep,
which was exactly what led to the default and what went wrong today for the New York Giants.
You look at a guy like a Chandler Jones, and that was a discussion this week. Will they stop 55? Can they stop Chandler Jones? He wasn't a major factor. I know he had a sack early, had a big play early for a loss. But overall, as a unit, the Arizona Cardinals defensive unit played pretty solid. I mean, you're talking about 43 yards. Like, that's a pretty solid day defensively.
Eric Flowers matched up against Chandler Jones. He did a nice job. Let's talk a little bit about losing Evan Engram in the first quarter. I mean, you talked about not being able to move the offense. Well, Eli Manning seemingly had less weapons as soon as his number one target, the rookie tight end, went out in the first quarter. How did that affect the game plan?
It definitely affected the game plan. Look at how much Evan Engram and Sterling Shepard were what opened up things last week for the Philadelphia team, or for the New York Giants up against Philadelphia. So when you lose a player like that, that draws attention, like he was drawing with double coverage
right there with
the safety, then you take him out of it, and now what are you trying to do? Now you're trying to take away bracket help from Sterling Shepard, but then you go to Roger Lewis. He has drops. There's no cohesion in the passing game. Receivers running the wrong routes on third down, and that, when you lose Evan Engram and that key target, it takes the place of losing now two guys because of the attention that he gets.
How many balls were thrown? We talked about this in the back. How many slants were thrown where the ball always seemed to be behind the receiver, just one step behind, where that's the difference between a first down, maybe run after catch, an incomplete pass, and punting the ball. And so you saw a lot of that time and time again. The receiving core wasn't on the same page with Eli Manning coming across the middle of the field.
All right, well, we talk about just the Giants' offense, at least. How do they get things going? How do they finish it strong? It seems like this was kind of a buzzkill for them. The last time that the Cardinals shut out a team was 1992. It was against the Giants.
Well, I mean, you have to look at it. It's the last game of the season. You're playing up at home up against the Washington Redskins. But the biggest thing is when you lose, don't lose the lesson. You're going to learn something when you lose. And for this Giants team, that we talked and heard about Giants pride last week. You have your last opportunity to put something on your resume as a football player and as a coaching staff to either finish this season on a high note as a group and to finish it individually, because we all know everybody's on record after this season. Everybody's going to be evaluated, and there is going to be turnover. So you have one opportunity after this to learn from this game and to move forward and put your best foot forward.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to put good stuff on tape, no matter what the score, what the record, especially when you have a divisional opponent coming in to close the season next week.
All right, we got to head down to University of Phoenix Stadium with our good friend Paul Dottino, is standing by with Ross Cockrell, who had two interceptions today.
Well, Ross, you certainly had something for the highlight film tonight with the two interceptions. That gives you four for your career. That had to feel at least pretty good on your part.
Well, you know, our defense never quit fighting. And, you know, I got to give credit to the coaches, credit to Shep, put us in the right car for the first interception. We had Fitzgerald double coverage, Crow and I. And then on the second one, I got to give a lot of credit to DT. He forced hard on the screen. I think it made the receiver take his eyes off the ball, and then I was there for the tip.
We have talked a lot about how Larry Fitzgerald is truly one of the all-time greats. He certainly gave you guys more than a handful tonight.
Yeah, he did a good job tonight of securing catches, scoring points. You know, he was big for them on third down, I believe. But really, there's no excuse. We knew he was going to be the main guy, and it's a shame that we let him do that tonight.
Stan does not get a reputation as necessarily being a great passer, but my goodness, it looked like he threw a lot of darts today.
Well, he can make all the throws. He's an NFL quarterback, big, strong arm, and so he did a good job of putting it on the money today.
Ross Cockrell, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Back to you guys.
Cockrell did a great job playing on defense with those two interceptions, but it seemed like Larry Fitzgerald, as Paul Dottino mentioned, he came in with a target on his back, and the Giants, they just couldn't stop him.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about a veteran receiver and a young DBs. I mean, you're going to find a guy like Larry Fitzgerald. Ever since they put him in that slot position, and Bruce Arians did a good job finding him ways to succeed, even in his older age. I hate to use that term.
Yeah.
We both have been older
wonder
guys.
Is what he is.
Yeah, but he's a veteran. He knows where the soft spots in the zone are. Knows how to take advantage of mismatches, and you know, he's made some great catches. You got to give a hats off to a guy like Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, Larry Fitzgerald throwing spirals down the field at one point today on the tricky plays. All right, let's head back down where Paul Dottino is standing by with Dalvin Tomlinson.
Dalvin, you guys held him to, I believe it was under 80 yards rushing in this game, and usually that's a good recipe to put the other team in passing situations, but it didn't work out well tonight.
Yeah, we held him to below 100 on rushing, and we just had to finish big. Don't allow big plays out there on the field.
What is it about Stanton that allowed him to be so effective? It looked like him and Fitzgerald really had something going.
Yeah, they have a good connection back there, wide receiver quarterback connection, and we just have to make sure we can't give up those big passes.
I thought the first drive of the third quarter when they had the ball and marched, I think it was 75 yards for a touchdown. I thought that was a real turning point in the game. Did you agree?
Yeah, I feel like it was a turning point. We have to get the momentum back after that and have to come back on the field with fresh heads.
Dalvin Tomlinson, thanks for your time.
All right, thank you.
All right, guys, back to you.
We have plenty more here to talk about on Giants Post Game Live. Right after the break, we will hear from Bob Papa and Carl Banks live in Arizona. But first, Giants fans enter for a chance to win a Fender T-Bucket CE electric guitar at adamrama.com/Giants. Welcome back to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz right here on MSG Network. Right now, we have to head back down to University of Phoenix Stadium, where Bob Papa and Carl Banks are standing by. Guys, take it away.
All right, Courtney, obviously a huge disappointment here as the Giants lose to the Arizona Cardinals 23-0. And Carl, the Giants open the game up on offense. Wayne Gallman catches a pass for 11 yards, and then Roger Lewis drops a third down pass, and it just snowballed. The Giants were 1-for-12 on third downs of 3 yards or less. So they managed down and distance, yet they weren't able to convert. What was the biggest problem in your eyes?
Well, I think you, like I said on air, the anatomy of bad offense is your offensive line play, and I think their inability to get third downs, when they are managing the down and distance where they should be able to convert, They're 1 of 12 in that area. That tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah, and obviously there were offensive line issues. They couldn't get any kind of running game going. We knew Arizona had a very good defense coming into the game, highly ranked, and they didn't give up a lot of rush yards. But the Giants' inability to get open down the field, we had a good look at it from where we are. There were a lot of times where Eli Manning had nobody open to throw to.
Yeah, no one open to throw to. But then again, you look at the receivers that he has available to him. Once Evan Engram left the game, it was just kind of let me figure out who I can get the ball to.
All right, so one of the big mysteries here in this situation is the fact that they were able to pick on the Giants with their passing game, especially to Larry Fitzgerald. We didn't see Eli Apple in there with the regular defense, and they never put Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie on Larry Fitzgerald in this game.
Yeah, that is a major mystery because he was their prime target, and your best coverage defensive back was nowhere near him. They were putting him on a secondary guy.
The Giants were able to get some pass rush, a couple sacks in the ball game, but it wasn't consistent enough, and Drew Stanton was pretty comfortable in the pocket.
Well, it was not consistent enough, Bob, but it wasn't even up to par with where the Cardinals were giving up sacks. They were below the rate of pressures that the Cardinals were used to.
Are you surprised? I'm a little surprised based on some of the momentum that they had coming off last week's game and the way even they played against Dallas. It was a 10-10 game midway through the fourth quarter that they played as poorly as they did today.
Well, I'm not surprised in terms of, I think the energy level was there for a while, but just their lack of execution is what really made it look worse.
Yeah, and I mean, as you like to say on the radio, you know, we talk about flip card guys, and they've got a lot of guys that they've signed off the street playing pretty important positions, and eventually it does catch up to you, right? Because other teams start scouting you, and they say, wow, this guy gives up this, that, and the other thing.
Well, yeah, and then no matter where the defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator puts you in position, you still have to execute, and if your talent level isn't there, it's just not going to happen. We saw it when Landon Collins left the game. They immediately attacked the safeties for touchdowns and first downs.
Yeah, and it's not even like the Giants were turning up the blitz and playing a lot of zero coverage. It was a lot of it was base, and they were still getting beaten on simple stuff.
Give us our best guy against your best guy, and we'll see what happens. But they didn't. The Giants were not putting Rodgers-Cromartie on their best guy, and it was pitch and catch.
Yeah, and Eli Manning was under siege throughout the course of the ball game and all kinds of penalties. Three times in this game, Carl, the Giants started in plus territory. That means on the Cardinals' side of the field, 0 points to show for it. You can't win when you make mistakes like that.
No, you can't. You can't. And then you miss a field goal on one, too. You cannot. You have to be at the area where you can convert into points.
All right, so let's find out what Giants head coach Steve Spagnuolo has to say with his post-game press conference.
Are we good, Pat? I apologize for being a little late, but I was some things talking to guys and whatnot, so apologize for that. Look, one thing I do want to do right here, this is me. I want to thank God for this opportunity for me to be standing here. That may sound a little strange, but I'm still grateful for that. And he's blessed me with the opportunity. Having said that, let me hit you injury-wise first. I know you're going to ask about Landon. He does have a fracture in his forearm, so that we know. And Evan has a rib injury. Don't really know exactly what it is. And Sterling Shepard, you saw go out there at the end with a neck. Don't really know about it, but it was a neck injury. Don't have any more information on that. As far as the game goes, I mean, it was a simple message to the team afterwards. And in this league, you can't win games if you beat yourself. And that's what I thought happened today. The penalties certainly killed us in all three phases. All three phases had penalties that, you know, resulted in bad situations for us, the field position, et cetera, et cetera. And I really, it begins and ends there, to be quite honest with you. I did see some positive things in some guys. You know, Rhett plays really well. I don't get my eye on every offensive play. I thought Gallman ran real hard. And it was good to see Hunter Sharp get in there and play. I thought he did some good things for us. I thought the defense played solid for the most part. I mean, the number 11 is probably my fault. We should have doubled him more. There's a couple of situations I would like to have back call-wise. We had doubles in there, and they changed some formations so it doesn't end up being a double. And maybe we have to change that going forward. But that certainly stuck out. That was something that stuck out for me. And really, with that, I'll just open it up.
Last week, your up-tempo, pass-heavy offense produced some results. Why did you guys go away from that this week?
The plan was not to go away from it. Now, again, I hope you can appreciate the two roles that I I have right now. So I probably miss some of what you're talking about. And again, I'd probably have to say that once I get my eyes on it and talk with Sully, maybe I have a better answer for you. But I know going in that was still part of it. Now, he did have some injuries there that might have changed some calls. And when they happened in the course of the series, I do remember one time he couldn't go to it because of losing a guy. So sometimes that happens.
What went into your decision? The whole end of the first quarter thing. What was your take on that? And
refresh my memory, Jordan.
They reviewed it. They flipped the sides, the fields. You went back. You decided 4th and 2. You get out there. Get back on the field. Try to make him jump off sides.
Yeah, I mean, from the get.
You decided to punt the ball.
No, didn't we still go up there? Help me out here. Yeah. I know it flipped the quarter. We still went out as an offense. That's what we were trying to do. Yeah, I mean, you saw it.
Why did you decide to punt down? That's a 4th and 2, basically, for the
We were going to try to get the first down doing it, trying to draw them offside. If they didn't, we want them to back up 5. The punt, it's an easier punt if you're backed up. We were at the 42-ish or whatever. For Brad, it's better to go back and punt it. So if we didn't get it, with what we call a no-brainer, that was the plan.
Why not go for it?
Well, I just decided at that point it was a field position game. It was 3-0 or 0-0 at that particular point. But it wasn't we were going to go for every 4th down. Early in the game, let's see how the game unwinds. Just made that decision.
What would it say? You used to be Eli Apple, on specials, but not?
Yeah, I left that to the defensive coaches because I'm not in tune. He was going to get in there in some dime situations. We had the guys that have been in there have been playing together for a little bit. The continuity's been good, so we just kind of left it at that. Probably need to try to get him in there, but we'll see how this week goes and make that decision this week.
He played 60 snaps last week, I think.
Didn't somebody get hurt? Yeah, Brandon got hurt.
Okay.
That's kind of mostly what it went into.
What do you think about how he played? He struggled today. Did you contemplate?
He being Brandon? Yeah.
Did you contemplate maybe putting Apple in at some point?
I don't know that we had that conversation. It probably would have been a good one to have. At that point, we may talk about that going forward, but I don't remember us talking about that. It's a good thought.
You had Romeo and Avery.
And I would say this, Jordan, maybe there was something I'm not aware of right now. Okay, so I don't really, but it's a good thought.
Romeo and Avery are both inactive.
Yeah, it was the secondary situation. So Nat and Landon were both, and we just didn't want to get caught shorthanded in the defensive back or special teams. We had a lot of conversation about that, so we went with the 3 ends, but it was strictly because of injuries in another position.
Two young guys,
unfortunately, it was just to try to win the football game. Had everybody been healthy, one of those guys definitely would have been up. But because of the secondary situation, we couldn't afford to do it.
Will Eli start next week? And even if he does, would
you like Eli
to
Manning?
Eli Manning, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Will he start? And even if he does, would you like to get Webb?
Eli will start, and then we'll probably take it. We'll just take it. We'll see how it goes. I can't. Eli's the starter.
Is there any? You had a game that was 20. You're down 20 points in the second half. You could have put Webb in if he was dressed.
But we couldn't because he was inactive. We decided to try to keep winning the football game. It was you got to help me on when it went to 23. It became a 3-possession game. To me, when it's a 2-possession game, try to win a game, and 3-possession with time. Okay, if Davis was up there, he probably would have been handing the ball off. I don't know if we would have put him in the situation. I think we got to be smart. Yeah, I think we got to be smart. I get the question. I get it. Trying to be smart about a lot of things, but the first and foremost is going to be to try to win the football game.
I guess what Eric Flowers seemed like he yelled at the official, and the official came over to speak.
Yeah, he did. So John was good about that, and then Eric was good about it too. He got emotions, let his emotions get to him, but it worked out.
How much does a missed kick or a couple like more? That? Kill any kind of momentum you're trying to build?
Well, you don't want to let it affect you, certainly, right? Because it's early enough in the game, but it would have been nice to be 3-3. I don't know exactly where. I think he didn't miss by much, but it was a miss. We need to make that.
You know, it was under constant pressure there at the end. You're down four scores.
Three right, possessions, three, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Did you contemplate taking him out? And just,
no, I really didn't. One would have happened, maybe six whatever minutes. And at that point, I just want to let him roll. I'm trying to remember when the sack fumble was.
It was somewhere
around there. And that got it to 23, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and that would have been the only spot you would have thought about it. But I want Eli to go back out and get some confidence. But, you know what I mean, that's a tough one when that happens. So I didn't think that was the right time to do that.
Okay,
thanks.
That was Steve Spagnuolo with the information telling all of us that Landon Collins, the Giants' all-pro strong safety, who's never missed a start in his career, suffered a fractured forearm at the end of that game on this play.
It's tough to see this because one of the highlights and high points of this football season was Landon Collins. You know, for him to be able to bounce back last week, to play through injury as much as he could, and then to bounce back this week and get another start, like you said, not missing a game, you know, that just goes to continue to show you his toughness and his ability and his love to want to be out on the football field fighting with his teammates regardless of the circumstances. So it's just really rough that this has had to happen, and unfortunately it looks like that he will not be able to play in the Pro Bowl now.
Yeah, I know. I mean, he was the only Giants' only Pro Bowl this year, third year. I mean, he's playing like he's been in the league 10 years. But what he means to this defense is that solid run support, almost an extra linebacker in the secondary. Now what do, right? Cockrell had two picks. You're moving some guys around. Mm-hmm. I mean, that adds to their vulnerability that you're walking into this last home game, last game of the season next year against Washington. So this is a big blow to the defense. And the fact that how he got injured, right, being physical, mm-hmm. doing what he's paid to do, doing his job, going 100%. And it's just unfortunate that the way the body works sometimes, things just don't agree with you. So it's really unfortunate. It could have been a worse injury. So thank goodness it's something that could be by mid-February. I'm sure he'd be fine. But, again, he's not going to be able to finish the season if that's the final determination of the injury of a fracture.
Just disappointing since he's been such a warrior battling through that ankle injury he has been working through since October. Well, guests from our postgame show received a gift certificate to Ben & Jack's, located on 5th Avenue and 28th Street in Manhattan. From the celebrated porterhouse to the finest seafood, Ben & Jack's will surpass your expectations of what a steakhouse will be. There's plenty more here to talk about on Giants Postgame Live. Stay with us. We'll hear from Eli Manning coming up. Welcome back to Giants Postgame Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, right here on MSG Network. Well, the Giants lose to the Arizona Cardinals 23-0 as we welcome in Paul Dottino and Howard Cross from University of Phoenix Stadium. Guys, take it away.
Thank you so much, Courtney and Howard. As we tried to survey this game from the sidelines, one thing we saw, the inefficiencies on offense, whether it was drops or wrong routes. I mean, this offense only converted one third down. They had a lot of trouble.
Yeah, they did have a lot of trouble. Unfortunately, you know, the team has been plagued by drops the entire season, and it just continued today. And when it starts early, it sets a tone. It's hard to get out of it. It's one of those things like momentum. You don't want anything bad to happen early, and it kind of happened early, and it kept going throughout the game.
You know, one of the other things that we certainly saw was how the offensive line continued to get overpowered. It seemed like the Cardinals front seven was just muscling those guys.
I think, you know, the big thing is when you think of overpowering, it was the interior group of guys that were getting overpowered. Usually, you know, we're always complaining about how the guys come off the edge and making plays. This time you saw guys really focusing on the middle of the field and getting up the field and putting pressure on Eli, putting pressure in the run game. When the guys are making pressure up the middle, it is hard to get an offense going, and it was happening, especially in the third and shorts and fourth and shorts.
And when that happens also, it tends to take a lot of steam out of a team. And early third quarter, Cardinals come out of the locker room, they go on a touchdown drive. You could really see how the Giants were starting to lose the air out of the balloon.
It's tough, you know, when you don't get first downs, you make some mistakes along the way. And you got to remember, like, we keep talking about the Giants and what they were doing. You got to also remember the defense they played against is one of the top 10 defenses in the league. They do a good job. So when you're playing against a group of guys like that, you got to be on your, you know, best performance the entire time. You can't make any mistakes. And that's kind of the team that we've been seeing week in and week out. Guys don't make a mistake here, a mistake there. When you're playing against guys that, you know, they don't make mistakes, they're going to get you.
You know, if you want to try to look at some Giants highlights, it's got to start with cornerback Ross Cockrell, the former Pittsburgh Steeler, who's gotten a lot of playing time lately. He had two interceptions tonight. That gives him four for his career.
You know, he did a good job being in the right place at the right time. The ball was tipped in the air. He didn't give up on it. He dived, made a great one-handed stab to catch the ball going through the ground. He did a good job of just being in the right place at the right time. Hey, he was playing against some good receivers. The guy who was there, who may have been his last game in the stadium, was Larry Fitzgerald. He got a lot of play, over 100 yards. So they had to find a way to get guys to him. And late in the game, you know, with a double team, Cockrell got one of those interceptions.
You know, it's interesting how the Cardinals continued to pump Fitzgerald from the very beginning of this game. But they also did stay away from Cockrell for the most part because they got burned when they threw it at him. And they also stayed away from DRC. They went elsewhere because they knew where the Giants had the most accomplished defensive backs.
Well, you know, we got a lot of guys coming in off the street to play the position of DB out there. They're watching it. They're paying attention to it. They get the scout report like everybody else does. And they say, hey, look, let's try these guys out and see what happens.
Yeah, so anyway, another tough loss for the Giants. When we come back, we will hear from quarterback Eli Manning. So stick around. More of Giants Post Game Live presented by Mercedes-Benz is coming your way after this.
Welcome back to Giants Post Game Live presented by Mercedes-Benz. Just a few minutes ago, the quarterback Eli Manning spoke to the media in front of his locker from Arizona.
Just seemed like nothing could get started for most of the day. Is that the way you saw it?
Yeah, you know, just you know, we didn't make many plays. You know, they made some. They made some, you know, some big time plays. Third down, we were bad again, and you know, a lot of them were third and threes and fours, and even shorter than that sometimes. We just weren't able to get that first down and get things going. So you know, it's one of those games where you know, moved the ball okay, but just. Didn't convert on third downs. Then we started having some penalties that hurt us as well.
Eli, why do you think that was the case? What wasn't working?
Well, they had some good calls defensively. They did some good things, and but we also just, you know, for whatever reason, just didn't connect on some things. You know, go back and look and see the exact reason why. But you know, they're a good defense. You know, they had some good schemes that gave us some troubles, and then they got a good job getting a pass rush, and we just didn't make some of the tough catches that we needed to.
Was there ever a discussion of you not finishing the game?
No, not that I know of.
Okay.
I know it's a tough long season, but 13 losses, I mean, that's a pretty glaring number. It's the most in franchise history. I'm guessing that doesn't sit well with a lot of guys here.
No one wants to, you know, lose and lose as many as we have, and so obviously it's been tough all year. Nothing's come easy. We've lost some heartbreakers, and we lost some, you know, like this as well, where we just never could get much going.
Is that baffling to you that there really hasn't been improvement? I mean, there was improvement last week, but the overall arc has not been really one of improvement this year, has it?
Well, we lost some of our playmakers, lost some of our linemen. You know, it's been tough. You know, we've had to kind of change some things around, we're not able to do everything we can do, and just not playing as well as we need to.
With that in mind, what about your performance?
Well, we didn't score any points, so I didn't play well enough. Obviously, I had the interception early, trying to hit Evan. Got to look at it. I don't know if I overthrew it or left it inside. Guy made a good play. I think he had hurt his ribs on the play before, and then I had the one before half, just trying to make a play. I got some pressure, but obviously, hey, we didn't convert on third downs, didn't score, so obviously I didn't play well enough.
That is future Hall of Famer Eli Manning. If you saw the stat on the screen, tonight he passed John Elway on the all-time passing list, sixth place. So congrats to Eli, first and foremost. But Giants offense struggling to move the ball, as he mentioned. It was incomplete passes. It was struggles on the offensive line. Spags mentioned it, that the penalties killed the Giants today in all three phases. It hurt their offense pretty bad.
It definitely did. You know, when you just look at, like we talked about, the cohesion that they had offensively being on the same page last week up against Philadelphia, it was based upon being able to get the football to Evan Engram and Sterling Shepard downfield and then using everybody else as a counterpoint off of that. When they lost Evan Engram, and then all of a sudden you're getting receivers that you have to make sure that they're now number one or two targets through your progressions, then it definitely disrupts your offense in the way that you're able to protect the quarterback when you have a defense like the Arizona Cardinals that can penetrate, do it into A and B gaps like we heard Bob Papa and Carl Banks talk about. And that type of pressure, not only against Eli Manning, but up against any quarterback, tends to make you roll out, throw off of your back foot, and either make a football sail over the top or make a football short. So it's just been that type of day, and it's been that type of year for this offense.
Yeah, this offense, guys, what, coming into the game, 52 three and outs, most of the league. Two more to start the game, so that's not going to help. The two interceptions, the two sacks, no touchdown passes. Obviously, you talk about the injury to Evan Engram. I mean, that takes away a lot of your options. I mean, those are formulas on top of the running game or lack of running game. Yeah. Those are the formulas that will consistently put you in a bad position as a quarterback. And Eli Manning deserves better, guys, and we know that. You play with him at a high level. He's one of the good guys in terms of from the NFL standpoint. He's a guy that's a high-character guy, and he's won a lot. But when you don't have the right formula, especially on the road, no moment, all these things that we just talked about, it's not going to bode well. It's not going to be a productive day for a quarterback in the National Football League. Eli Manning, a rookie, anybody.
All right, we have plenty more here to talk about on Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. The Giants lose to the Arizona Cardinals 23-0. We will be right back on Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. Welcome back to Giants Post Game Live right here on MSG Network. After the game, Paul Dottino caught up with Rhett Ellison on the field.
Okay, guys, Rhett, difficult going again offensively. Could you put a finger as to why the drives just never seem to get going?
Yeah, you know, it's in this league, you can't shoot yourself in the foot, and I think we just we made too many mistakes. You know, we can move the ball, but when you shoot yourself in the foot, it just kind of it shuts those drives down. So, yeah, that was kind of the story.
I think unofficially it was 1 of 14 on third down, 0 of 8 on third down and 2 yards or less.
Yeah.
That's not going to keep things going at all.
Yeah, exactly. Like we got to convert. I mean, there's a lot of things that we got to improve. But I think for the most part, we beat ourselves today.
Coming out of the locker room at the start of the third quarter, they went on a 75-yard drive, scored a touchdown, and it's 16-0. I thought that there, that was a chance to try to get some momentum, but they seemed to take it right out of the locker room. I thought that was a big key.
Yeah, and those are the situations where you have to answer that momentum. Otherwise, the game can get out of control like it did. So, yeah, that's another thing that we have to work on as a team.
And final thing, Spags, of course, has really done a great job communicating with you guys. What's his message to you as with only one game to go?
Just focus on the Redskins. You know, we have to get better from this game, learn from our mistakes, and, you know, we got a division rival at home. And, you know, you only have a finite number of games in your career, and this is just one more of those, you know, one less game in everybody's career, so you have to treat it like that.
Rhett Ellison, you had some good catches tonight. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, let's go back to you.
And right now, let's check out that 4th-and-2 play where Ellison caught a pass for 15 yards. That was the Giants' 5th drive. This was right after Evan Engram went out. So a huge play coming up here. It led to an Aldrick Rosas missed field goal. But, I mean, this was a huge momentum play early in the game.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the bright spots in the game. And you talk about a game and even a season where you haven't seen a lot of big explosive plays. This game in particular, you didn't see a lot of run after the catch up until maybe that point.
Yeah.
But it was definitely a step in the right direction.
When you look at the overall picture and what they needed to do, obviously when you lose Evan Engram, you have to get the football to Rhett Ellison. And when you have to take him out of the max protection, then what do? Now you're adding more pressure on the quarterback, and Eli Manning has to get rid of the football quicker than he would like to. So it just seems like it's a spiral, one thing to the next. And And that's the thing that's really been the issue with this Giants football team. When you have so many different combinations and so many different injuries, it's hard to get everybody on the same page to where you're doing it on the road and you can do it in sync with crowd noise. That takes time and continuity, and that's something that this team doesn't have right now.
Yeah, and we mentioned that missed field goal at the end of that drive. How deflating is that just to lose it on a chip shot virtually? It's a 33-yard field goal.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about it. It's 3-0 at this point. You're middle of the second quarter. You're trying to generate some momentum, at least going before you go in the locker room. And you miss that field goal. Now they're getting the ball back, I think, on the 40-yard line.
Yep.
That's a momentum killer, especially on the road. You can't say this enough. You've got to start fast on the road. You can't have turnovers. You definitely can't have strip sack fumbles or things like that. You're highly unlikely going to win that game. I'm sure Tom used to give you all the stats when going into a game on the road, the likeliness of winning when those kind of things happen. But it was really unfortunate to see that one miss. Again, a game that you thought was going to be a low-scoring game anyway, that's the kind of game you're saying, now at least we're in it, and then you neutralize some of the things that they might want to do offensively coming back.
And that's something that we always talk about. You just talked about it, and you hit the nail on the head, is the end of half points and the start the second half, how crucial they are for you in the momentum standpoint, regardless of whether you're at home on the way or away. And for this Giants football team to get the ball first, to start having the three and outs, to go up and move the football and to get a chance to tie the game, to build some confidence in the football game, you miss it and it's almost like, here we go again. Right. And then from that point on, you have players pressing, trying to do too much. You start seeing big plays be made downfield, and sure enough, Arizona was easily able to grab that momentum at home, and it paid off because sure enough, second half, here they come out with an opening drive, and right there you could just feel the balloon deflated.
And you got to believe Bruce Arians, who I know very well, he was a coordinator of mine in Cleveland, they hadn't scored a touchdown in 11 quarters.
Yeah.
They had to say, all right, we've got to score a touchdown in this game, we've got to get some momentum, and that's exactly what they did today.
All right, guys, we got to take a quick break here on Giants Postgame Live. But first, Giants fans enter for a chance to win a Fender T-Bucket acoustic electric guitar.
I'm in.
Dave Deal loves it. A little early Christmas present for you. You can find that at Adorama.com/Giants. Adorama, the official electronics retailer of the New York Giants. We will hear from safety Landon Collins after the break. Welcome back to Giants Postgame Live right here on MSG Network. Let's head back down to Arizona one more time to hear safety Landon Collins speaking to the media at his locker.
How did it happen? Was that the shovel pass?
Yeah, the shovel pass. I don't know. I got to see back. I don't know if my arm got caught in a different way because I didn't use my arm to hit him. I hit him with my shoulder pad. So I have to see how it actually happened. But because I remember the alignment, my arm got caught on the alignment as I was going through. So I have to really see what happened.
Pretty frustrating.
Pretty
frustrating to end the season.
Oh yeah, definitely with all the injuries.
For you personally, yes. You wanted to finish what you started, I'm sure, right?
Oh, of course, I definitely wanted to finish what I started, but guy has some other plans for me.
Just fractured in one spot, or?
Yeah, just one spot. It's like kind of like right here.
Did you even feel it?
I just felt like, you sleep on your arm and it goes numb. That's how it felt to me at the beginning. Then I started moving and it just kept on, something was clicking, so I said something's wrong with me. And I feel like I could raise it, but I couldn't, like, if I try to take on a block or something like that, it wasn't happening. So
I came in for the nail.
Yeah, I was gonna try to do something. I just thought it was probably sore. I'm trying to wake it back up. It wasn't waking up.
That was all pro safety Landon Collins speaking to the media about a fractured forearm that he suffered during this game. Let's just talk about injuries in general as a whole. It seems like every game another superstar or playmaker for the Giants goes down.
It really is. I mean, it's tough when you talk about, and I hate to go back to it, but you talk about expectations before the football season, and you could name this entire roster, offense and defense, and with the injuries that have plagued this team, I'm not joking. I had to look at the flip card today, looking at some numbers, trying to figure out who is who. And when you're doing that and you're trying to replace and you continue to have to say next man up on a short, condensed period of time when you're trying to get guys to be able to play next to one another and communicate at the same time when they're still trying to learn. It's a very difficult thing to overcome.
And
yeah,
not
I mean,
only
you
that.
look at Evans, Ingram's injured here. We're talking about Landon Collins, obviously. And, you know, and these are guys that love football, right? These guys are competing. And I think that's what really hurts the most. You know, everyone's competing on Sundays. We both played a long time. And then when you're on a team where you're fighting for answers and you're trying to get some W's in, your second, third win in December, mm-hmm. That's when it really affects you the most because you start looking back. You talk about that roster.
Yeah.
Who's going to be the next man up? You're losing not only guys on the field to injury, you're losing emotional leaders too. You're losing confidence in the huddle. You're losing an offensive player in a tight end who's really the only option you have. Everyone else has gotten injured too. So, I mean, that's where injuries, beyond the injury itself, that's where they really affect you. In a locker room during the week of preparation from a coaching staff, who can you put in the same position that you put in the guy that you know was playing at a high level? You know, those are the things that affect you on the injuries.
All right, we'll be back with our final thoughts right here on Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. If you missed any part of Giants Post Game Live that you would like to see again, there will be two re-airs tonight and one at 11 a.m. on Christmas morning. I want to say Merry Christmas to you, Dave and Roman, and to everyone here at our MSG crew. Does such a wonderful job. We're staying up late on a holiday night.
Absolutely. You got to love being able to spend Christmas. Obviously, we wish we were celebrating a little bit more than right now, but very thankful and blessed for everybody that we do all these shows with and all the guys behind that helped us make this happen.
Yeah, I mean, we never lose sight of the fact that Dave and I, you know, we played a game, you know, as adults for a long time. And you know, there's people out there going through real stuff. And this time of year, Merry Christmas, whatever you celebrate. But hopefully some way the Giants can find a way to celebrate the end of the year next week against the Redskins. So hopefully they can find a way to put it together. I mean, they can will themselves to victory if they really believe they can do it and get some good breaks.
That's what I was gonna say. I said it would be a nice early Christmas present for the Giants to secure a win, a late Christmas present to secure a win over their division rival, the Redskins, who they have in the final week of the season. That is Sunday, December 31st, 1 p.m. It is a home game at MetLife Stadium. Dave, what do you think about this game?
Like I said, this is a division rival. You're playing the Redskins at home. And like with everything that has happened adverse-wise with this football season, you can do one thing to end this on a positive note, and that's to beat your division rival at home and feel good about at least that game and then look after it and then have your postseason review.
Yeah, you can feel, again, Dave, you can feel good about this season, about how you end it, about what you put on tape, about how you walk off that field, you know, next Sunday at 4:15 or 4:30, what have you. And then because that last game, you got to think about that for 3 or 4 months until you get back in the offseason again. So hopefully they can do that next week.
Well, it'll be a great end to the season if they do it against a division rival, especially against the Redskins.
Giants pride, that's what you need.
Giants pride finishing off strong. All right, well, thank you from everyone here at Giants Post Game Live right here on MSG Network. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.